chapter 1, verse 14 to 15. Then the Lord said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on earth." And it was so. Amen. So today, we're going to do things slightly differently. So we're going to have a few people that will sit here in front, and they're just going to talk to us about the theme of the month, which is the God of glory. So they're just going to tell us about who the God of glory is to them, what kind of personal experiences that they've had with the God of glory. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 24, it talks about the King of glory. It talks about the gates kind of, I'll just go to it and read it. So Psalm 24, verse 7. So it says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. So being the God of glory is one of the attributes of God. You know, you might know God as a merciful Father, you might know him as a Savior, as a healer, as a miracle worker, as a promise keeper. So the God of glory, that's another attribute of God, and that's what we're going to focus on today. So I'm just going to invite the people up here. So I'm going to invite Vanessa. So if you could all just give her a round of applause. I'm going to invite up Tommy Singh. And I'm going to invite Debbie, Mrs. Adewusi. The God of glory is to you. And just kind of flow from there.
Okay, so the question I had to pretty much dwell on and kind of ask the Spirit of God to reveal to me is, what does it mean to live in the identity of the Father, and how can we relate that to our everyday lives? So I always like to compare quite simply. So the most simple comparison that I can think of is that of a relationship between your earthly father and a child. So if I think of my genetic makeup, part of that is that of my dad. For those who know me, I don't look like my dad other than my very short stature, but that's my physical image. My physical image is part of what he's genetically given to me and what I've inherited from him. And then when I think of who I am as a person, he's sown 21 plus years into me, his fathering, his nurturing, his love. So part of who I am is because of what he's given to me. So how I relate that to God, our Father, and our identity in him is, first of all, we are created in his image. So sometimes you look at yourself and you think, oh, my big nose, my big lips, my shape of my body is a mistake. But when you look at the word of God and understand that you're both fearfully and wonderfully created, you understand that there was no mistake. Where you've come from is no mistake. Where you've come from in life has formed who you are today. So when you think of the word of God, he said that he's known you from your womb. So when you're in the womb of your mother. So sometimes you think, oh, what I did and how I went down that path is a mistake. But that's all part of who you are today in Christ. And furthermore, when I think of us accepting him as our Lord and Savior and believing in our hearts that God raised him from the grave after 3 days, I remember that we are called a new creation in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Galatians 2:20 and Galatians 3:3 says that we're no longer living in the flesh. That it says that we died with him, we're crucified with him. So it's not us who lives anymore, it's not our flesh that reigns, but it's Christ that lives in us that reigns. Furthermore, it says that our lives in Galatians 3:3 is our lives that are hidden in him. So when I think of our identity in him, I think that we should be so lost in him, so in love with him, that when the world sees us, they don't see us, they see Christ Jesus. When people look at us, they see the Lord God and his glory radiating from us. So when I think of identity, that's how I think about us being so in line with his will. will, so submissive in humility to what he's desired us to be and where he's desired us to go to, that is no longer us, as I said. So as you know, the word of the month is the God of glory, and I believe that in terms of our identity, we should carry the beauty of God, the magnificence of God, the brilliance of God, and the pure holiness and righteousness of God. And as humans, we won't always get it right. And I think that sometimes we get lost in the world perceiving us as this perfect Christian, as this Christian who has this perfect past. But in reality, when being identified through Christ, we want to live our lives in such humility, transparency, and vulnerability that they won't see this perfect Christian. They'll see this imperfect God who a perfect God is working through. So when you think of an example for it, sometimes we get angry and sometimes we lash out, and the world assumes that we'll be perfect, that we won't lash out, but the Christ in us will know that we need to go and repent, we need to go and go and ask for forgiveness for the person that we've lashed out to. And furthermore, it's not just being identified as a child of God in public, but also being identified as a child of God in private. So when you know that you've disobeyed God in your heart, your identity in Christ will tell you that, okay, yes, in private I disobeyed him, but in private you're meant to go and repent also. So it's this idea that there is no, so behind closed doors we're meant to be children of God, and in the public face we're meant to be children of God also. So it is a continuous journey, always identifying who you are, because God is a multifaceted God, and God has called us to be so many different things. But obviously we're talking about God our Father and us being a child of God. So in terms of how we go about affirming our identity in Christ, the last couple years a verse that's really resonated with me is Psalms 34:5, which says, when we look to the Lord, we'll be radiant and our faces will not be covered in shame. So in terms of affirming our identity in Christ, it's all about looking to him, seeking him, pursuing him, practicing the spiritual disciplines, that we won't even have time to look left and right. We won't have time to look at what the world is doing. We won't have time to imitate what the world is doing. We'll start shedding certain things. Certain habits won't be a part of us anymore. Certain places that we decided to go to pre-Christ won't be something that we desire to do anymore, because we are so hidden in Christ. Our lives are so in his shadow that all we want to do is radiate and reflect Christ in all that we do. So as I said, when we look up, the more we look up at him and the more we focus on him, the more he will reveal himself to us, and the more of his glory we will radiate. So I believe there's levels to the glory of God and radiating the glory of God. So as I said, the more we practice the spiritual disciplines, the more in the word we are, the more worshiping we do, the more rebuking idolatry in our life, and making sure that we're fasting, and making sure that we are fellowshipping with other believers, the more of his glory we will behold. So I believe that when you're also trying to pursue and keep and affirm your identity in him, you'll be less like Martha and you want to be more like Mary and bask in his presence, sit at his feet and allow him to pour himself more and more into you. So you are a result of what you let into the gates of your eyes and your ears. So what you perceive, what you hear, what you see, you will become that. So that's why it's so important to continuously practice spiritual disciplines in terms of affirming your identity in him also. And spending time with Christ, everything will change. I believe that the way you walk will change, the way you talk, the way you act, the way you dress will change. There'll be a new kind of confidence. There'll be a new kind of aura. And that aura will be that of the Spirit of God that you're radiating. And as I said, there's levels to beholding the glory of God, and that all comes to dying with self. So sacrificing the flesh, crucifying the flesh, understanding that you died with him when you accepted him as your Christ and Savior. So the more the Spirit will reign when you do learn to die to yourself on a daily basis. And on from the idea of like dying to yourself on a daily basis, it is a continuous process. And I believe that each and every day you need to obviously at the end of the day repent, but at the beginning of the day dedicate your life to him. Try and shed away the desires and the lust of the flesh and pursue that of the Spirit. So it can be confusing, and sometimes as humans, imperfect as we are, we can go astray. But the core of our identity is knowing that you've been accepted by him, that you've been redeemed by him, that we are covered in his grace, that we are covered by his love, and we are adopted as children of God. And I believe when you always kind of affirm those kind of statements to yourself, there's no way that you can deviate from your identity. The idea of you identifying yourself through what job you have or how much money you have or how well you do in exams won't mean anything, because those things pass away. But your desire is to one day meet with God when it's the end of your time, and for him to welcome you as his faithful and obedient servant, and to not say to depart from him because he didn't know you. You want Christ to know you, and you want to know Christ. So I feel, in essence, that's how you go about affirming your identity in him and remaining as a child of God.
Thank you very much, Vanessa. I think one of the things that you said that really kind of resonated with me was the fact that we should always carry the beauty of God. So people should be able to see the imperfect people that we are, but through the eyes of, so see the imperfect people that we are, but also see that the perfect God is still working in us. He's still trying to mold us into who we ought to be. Thank you. Let me see.
When I looked at the theme, the God of glory, and also one thing I looked up was, I searched for the meaning of glory to try and understand like a deeper meaning about it. And what I found was, it said high renown or honor won by notable achievement. And it also said magnificent or great beauty. And a scripture that came to, that followed with that, that I read was Numbers 14, verse 22. And it says, all these people saw my glory and miracles I did in Egypt and in the desert, but they disobeyed me and tested me 10 times. And one word describing everything from definition and from that passage that I saw was image. And it made me think, this thing, what image, thinking about what is God's image and what's my own image, and is it, am I okay with the image that I portray? And and also similar to what like Vanessa said about like us, about ourselves also. And it just got me like thinking deeply and everything. What image do I portray? What image do I want? What image is it that God wants for me? And am I portraying a different image from what God wants? And we another thing it said honor. And when I was thinking of honor, I was also thinking of honor. I was thinking of humility also. And it was like more deeper thoughts coming into me, and I was thinking, and something that came to mind, a time when God was speaking to me. I was watching something, and it was like he was saying that if I can't entrust my own life this thing to him, how can he like entrust like things to me, like things that he wants me to do? And it's also like with this thing, who ourselves, who we are ourselves, and this thing, what we want to be, where we are going also. And in terms of like glory, it also said magnificent or great beauty. And for me, that was also like explaining something that I could see similar with magnificence and great beauty was royalty. And I was like, God is he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, he's someone who is, he's royalty himself. And the glory of God, when we hear the glory of God, it's like it's just his image being there. And in one of the verses, in Exodus 16:17, it said, "And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of God, for he heareth your mournings against the Lord, and what are we that we murmur against us?" And I was thinking, exactly what is it, am I seeing in the morning? what is it? Am I seeing morning? Am I seeing like the glory of God in the morning when I wake up? When I wake up, what do I do? When I wake up, what are the actions that I take? What are the first steps that I do? And sometimes we think that it's something not significant. It's something so little, but the first things we do when we wake up actually affects literally like how our whole day starts also. And depending on what you do, depending on the first steps you take when you wake up, they are very, very important in how your day is being run or how you want your day to even go sometimes. And it's about me saying, what do I also want to start my day with? What do I also want to start my morning with? What do I want to see when I wake up in the morning? What do I want to hear when I wake up in the morning? What do I want to say when I wake up in the morning? And sometimes we don't think of these things as being like significant of like this thing. What are the first things I'm hearing? What are the first things I'm saying? What are the first things I'm seeing? And these things are like really, really important for us to like keep going on our journey and on our walk with God. And yeah, that's it that I have.
Thank you very much, Tamisane. So I think from what you said, what kind of stood out for me was in my life, what is God's image in my life and what is my own image? So when people see me, what image am I actually portraying? And I think that's something that personally I need to go and think about and actually think, okay, whose image am I actually portraying in my life? Is it the image of the God of glory, or is it my own image? When things happen, do I give glory back to God, or do I say, oh no, this was due to my own effort, this was because I did this and I did that? So for me, that's kind of what I took away from that. So thank you very much, Tommy Sain. Debbie.
For me, when we talk about God of glory, some of the things that I pull down personally is the fact that for me to experience God's glory, then I must have a relationship with God. There must be a place that I am with God personally to be able to be manifest and to be God, to be able to come true and show forth his glory in my life and everything that I found myself in. And some of the scripture that I put down is John 1:14. If we can just display that, please. So he's saying that, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So for me, one of the things that stood out to me there is for God to reveal his glory to me as an individual, I have to trust in his word and be confident in him. It's like what Vanessa said before, our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Let's, for example, if my father say to me, okay, this, I want to do this for you, and I don't trust whatever he's going to do for me, then I won't be able to have a deeper understanding or get what he's trying to give to me, because I don't trust. It's like someone saying to you, I'm going to do something for you, and you don't trust that person. If you don't trust that person, then you're not going to be able to get the full understanding or get whatever they want to bestow or give to you. But the moment you put your trust in that person, our Father, our Heavenly Father, which is God, the moment you put your trust in him, you're able to have a better understanding and also be able to walk in him and be confident of who you are to God and the fact that he's God to you. But if you don't trust him and you don't have the confidence in him, then you're not going to be able to experience the whole essence of God and what more that is there that he wants to reveal to me or you as an individual. I also add that for me to be able to experience the glory of God, I have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I have to have a personal relationship with God. I have to have that communion, like Vanessa said before. We have to worship. We have to study. We have to put that work in for us to be able to have a better understanding and for us to be able to walk in the glory of God, we have to have that relationship with God. It can't be a situation of a Sunday kind of relationship or Thursday kind of relationship. It has to be something that we do daily, that we're daily dying to ourselves. We're daily walking. It's a work in progress, like Vanessa said. You're daily putting the work in it. And as you do that, you see that you're not the same person that you thought you were yesterday. Every day is different. As you're taking the step, you're looking back, you're seeing that I'm not the same person that I was at that point before. As I'm walking forward and I'm making that progress, I'm becoming what God wants me to be, and His light and His glory will shine through you and in your life. I also add then that I have to diligently, for God's glory to be able to show in our lives and also in the church, we have to diligently seek and ask. The scripture that I have down for that is Exodus chapter 33, verse 16-22. If we can have that up, please. And it says, "For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us, so we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth?" So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." And he said, "Please show me your glory." Then he said, "I will make all the goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see my face, for no man shall see me and live." So one of the things that stood out to me in that passage is about Moses asking to see the glory of God, for God to reveal himself to him, for not just other people to see, but for him also to see, to have an impact in his life. So for us to be able to function and for us to see the glory of God, we need to ask. Is when you ask that when you, it's like when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you ask that, "God, I want to surrender my life to you. I'm accepting you." So the moment we ask for that to be done, that's when God can take charge. That's you saying, "God, you know what? I surrender to you. I surrender to what you want to use me for." And we always hear this illustration about the mortar and the clay and all that. It's just that kind of a situation also. The moment you surrender and say, "God, you know what? I want you to, your glory to be seen in my life, in everything that is around me, about my life, everything." The moment we do that, we say, "God, I surrender to your glory to be known in my life and to be shown in my life," then that will be taking place. It's a moment, it's about us asking and diligently asking and seeking. And like Valencia said before, when you're seeking, you're studying, you're worshiping, you're doing things that will bring that glory down to you.
Much for that, Debbie. From what you said, I think for me, one of the key points is the fact that for the God of glory to kind of manifest in my life, I have to have a relationship with him. If I don't, then he's not gonna do anything in my life. He's not gonna manifest anything in my life. So I think it's a key thing that we need to daily check our own relationship with God. This is a personal walk. Everyone in this room, our walk with God is completely personal, whether we're family, whether we're friends. So we need to go back and actually check, what is my relationship with God? Am I giving God enough room to really be the God of glory in my life? So when I was looking at what the word glory means, it means to have confidence in something. It means to be able to boast in something. So when we say God, you know, God of glory, it means a God that we have confidence in, a God that we can boast about. Like if you think back and you look, and you look through your life and you see how awesome God has been to you, the fact that you're even sitting here today, the fact that you can listen to what we're saying, the fact that you can reason with what we're saying, that means that God is truly awesome in your life. God is truly being a God of glory in your life. So I just want us each to just kind of bow down and just pray and ask God that he will once again reveal himself to us. We have heard so much today, but like we said, it's all about our own personal relationship with God. So everyone here has spoken about who the God of glory is to them, but who exactly is the God of glory to you? What do you know him as? What has he done for you? What can you point to and say, yes, this is the God of glory. This is what he has done. This is what he is still doing. Even if you're trusting and believing in God for something, then that's still fine. You know, being a God of glory, you know, when you look through what God has done for us, for you already, you can say that, okay, because he has done this, I have the faith, I have the assurance that he can do yet something else. There are many times in the Bible that, you know, things look impossible. Things just look like, what is going on? But God still comes through. That is still the same God that we are serving. He is still the same God of glory. And I just want us to pray and just ask God that he will reveal himself to you, even as the God of glory. Maybe he has already revealed himself to you as a healer, as a miracle worker, as a promise keeper, maybe as a light in the darkness. But I just want us to pray that he will truly reveal himself to you in a way that you would know that, yes, this is the hand of God. This cannot be anything else. This is truly God, and this is truly the God of glory that has done this. That other people will even look and say, yes, it is God. That there is no other person that would have done that but the God of glory himself. And I just want us to pray as well that in whatever way that we ourselves were stopping the God of glory working in our lives, maybe it's by what we're doing, what we're saying, maybe it's by our attitude, or maybe it's because we don't trust in him enough, maybe it's because, you know, our relationship with him isn't where it should be. I just want us to repent and just ask that God will truly point out to each and every one of us where it is that we are missing it, where it is that we are stopping him from truly revealing himself to us in our lives as the God of glory. Thank you even for what we have heard, oh God. We pray that we'll not just be hearers of your word, but that we will also be doers, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Father, Lord Almighty, we pray that you will reveal yourself to us in a different way, oh God. You reveal yourself to us even as the God of glory, oh God. And we pray, oh God Almighty, that in whatsoever way that we are missing it, we pray, oh God, that you will talk to each and every one of us, that you will reveal to each and every one of us what we ought to do, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.